Welcome everybody to this edition of the Jungle Show. Thank y'all for joining us for the final edition of the 2022-23 season edition of the Jungle Show. Obviously, we will have our season review episode upcoming, and then a lot of good content in this offseason. Very excited for this offseason, all things considered. In this episode, we are here to talk about what Auburn was able to do in the March Madness tournament. In the two games in Birmingham, an 83-75 win over the Iowa Hawkeyes in the 8-9 matchup, and then the heartbreaking loss to the one seeded Houston Cougars in Birmingham by a score 81-64, a complete meltdown. But we'll get to that here in just a minute. But first, I want to talk about the Iowa game. But to do that, I brought in my dad and co-host again. Dad, it's good to be back. Good to be talking basketball. I need a little bit of air after the games on Thursday and on Saturday, but we're back, and I'm excited for the rest of the tournament, even though Auburn's not in it, but we're here to talk about these two basketball games.
I would really, really, really appreciate somebody beating Alabama this weekend. Yeah. That being said, I thought we played four halves of basketball, two games, four halves of basketball. I thought three of them were about as good as Auburn could play. Had they played a bad first half maybe against Iowa and played the other three like that, we're probably in the Sweet 16. Yeah. The bad half came against, I think, the best team in the tournament in the second half, and it is what it is. But I think we played three really good halves of basketball, and we were at the Iowa game. That's it took me a while for my voice to recover after Thursday, and then I got a little bit of a head cold and congestion, and so we're a little bit late getting to you.
Yeah, you said that three really good halves of basketball, and it's hard to, obviously, with Auburn not advancing after losing in the round of 32, it's hard to look back and go, man, there was a lot of good out of that, but there really, really was. I mean, you beat a really, really good Iowa team playing great. You played a great basketball game in that. We'll get to that one here in just a second. And then that first half against Houston was probably the best half all year long.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Maybe that half at Alabama. That game against Houston, we were doing anything we wanted to against one of the best defenses.
And just like you said, the team that you're doing that against, you mentioned it just a second ago, they could possibly be the best team in this tournament and could end up cutting down the nets at home in early April.
Yeah.
So, all things considered, you didn't move on, but there's a lot of positives to go back and look at in these two games. But let's talk about where most of the positive is going to come from. That Iowa game in the first round was outstanding. Auburn scores 83 points in that game, led by Janai Broome with 19 points, 12 rebounds, and 5 blocks. He was the first SEC player to do that, score 15-plus points, 10-plus rebounds, and 5-plus blocks.
So it's a pretty good guy.
Since Anthony Davis did it in 2012.
Pretty good player in that fantastic run by Kentucky that year.
Yeah, you also had four of your starting five in double figures. Jalen Williams had 11 points. Wendell Green had 15 points, really coming alive down played the stretch from the free throw line.
Was the closer.
He was the closer. You're right. And then Alan Flanagan had 10 points and 10 rebounds. That was really crucial as well. But I think the biggest part of this is seeing your production off the bench that you've been waiting for all year long. Two guys off the bench in double figures, Katie Johnson with 11 and Trey Donaldson with 11. It felt like they did it in about a six-minute period.
They did.
It just exploded. And you mentioned that we were there. And I don't think I've ever heard Legacy Arena as loud as it was when Trey made the step back three that he made and
went crazy. I mean,
the only other comparison I can make is when Jared Harper took over the Auburn UAB game that year that we were there. Mm-hmm. That was loud. But it was an unbelievable environment. Shout out to the Auburn fans that were
Thank
there.
Thank you to the Auburn fans in Birmingham and surrounding areas.
It was great. It was absolutely unbelievable. It was like poor Iowa. I mean, goodness gracious. Yeah. There was that was a home game for Auburn. But talking more about this game, We talked about it before when we saw the matchup with Iowa. I wasn't worried about Iowa's size. I've been worried about teams that had massive size. I wasn't worried about that. They're not a very big team. They didn't have a dominant big. Mm-hmm. I wasn't worried about their defense. Iowa had struggled against not very good offensive teams on the defensive end this season. I was worried about Iowa's offense and Iowa's three-point shooting ability. You were mentioning while we were at the game, they had lost one game all year. They were like 22-1 all in that where they were when they're 30% or better from three, they almost were undefeated. And yeah. Then when they were less than 30%, they were like 0-9 or something like that. That is live and die by the three ball right there. Obviously, yeah. Iowa in the first half was 0-9. Really, really bad. And then Caldwell Fire, right about when Auburn Caldwell Fire from the three-point line in the second half. I mean, the second half, the first half scoring, at halftime, it was 31-26 Auburn. Just the second half scoring was 52-49 Auburn. And it was just both of these offenses came alive in that second half. And it was not just Auburn, it was Iowa too, but it was impressive to watch.
So, and I don't know how they ended up from three, but they were above 30% late in the game. And so we came out in the second half and just took control, went up by 17. And I remember looking over at you and going, don't forget, Michigan State was up by 13 with a minute left and lost and didn't miss free throws. They just made all these threes against them. So they're very capable offensively. I agree. Defensively, they're not a very good team. But offensively, they're top three in total offense or whatever. He's a good coach. He runs a lot of good stuff. They're not overly athletic. They weren't overly tall. And we kind of figured that out and started pounding Janai on them.
Yeah.
And Janai was working the boards, keeping the ball up and going back up and getting fouled and making a shot. And by the way, Janai was making free throws in that game.
Yeah.
And then once we got a little bit more comfortable, with about 5 minutes left, we turned the game over to Wendell and said, all right, shut the door.
Take over, Win. Yeah.
And he did.
He ended the basketball game.
Absolutely.
So when we got the matchup against Iowa, I was really not really concerned, but interested to see how the matchup with Jalen Williams and Alan Flanagan guarding Chris Murray would be. Chris Murray, brother of top five pick from last year, Keegan Murray, who was a National Player of the Year candidate from last year. But he has really taken on a massive step this year for Iowa.
He's an NBA player.
He averages about 20 points a game. Auburn mm-hmm. held him to 15 points and 9 rebounds, 3 of 11 from 3, which was his season low in terms of percentage. And that's
really good.
Kind of wing defense that this Auburn team showed in this basketball game.
Alan Flanagan is an elite defender. I've been saying it all year. He is an elite defender. He's 6'6". He's long-armed. He's bouncy. He's hard to get around. It's hard to get a shot over him. Chris Murray is an NBA player.
Yeah.
He's an NBA player. I still wonder if we have an NBA player on this team from this year. Maybe Flanagan. He may get on with the team. But the fact that every team we go up against has at least one, more often than not, two or three NBA players on it. And Chris Murray is no exception. He's a fantastic shooter. He's got great feet in the post.
Yeah.
He can make free throws. He can rebound. He can defend. So he's an NBA player. And I thought Flanagan may have played his best game against Iowa. 10 points, yeah. 10 boards, and really good defense.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm talking more about this Auburn team. We were mentioning Janai Broome. Janai Broome looked as dominant as a big on the offensive glass as I've seen in a while. He only had 4 offensive rebounds in this game out of his 12 total. All 3 of the 4, he was able to get it back and get an and one following.
I was going to say at least three of them.
Just like you mentioned, he was being strong with the ball. He was making his free throws. He was 4 of 6 from the free throw line in this game. He had foreshadowing for the following.
For not doing it the next.
Yeah, for not doing it against Houston. But this Auburn team put it all together. And talk about the starting lineup, having four players in double figures is going to win you basketball games. But then if you get
– two off the bench.
Two off the bench with 11 points, then the way that they did it, KD was
– he was great.
KD had the swag that we've been begging him to have all year long in this game. And he kind of has had it ever since. I would say the Alabama game, he's kind of had that mean swag where we had all last year with KD, except towards the end. But you finally saw that come back. He buried 2 threes. He was able to get to the rim. He was guarding with playing incredible defense, just like always. He's an elite defender, elite perimeter as well. But that's not who I want to talk about off the bench. I want to talk about Trey Donaldson because he buried 3 straight threes. And that one, I mentioned the one with the step back. That place went berserk. It was because everybody in there was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Who did that?
Yes.
Where's this Trey Donaldson been? And not only that, he was able to run the offense really, really well. He was rebounding the ball. He got 3 rebounds. He was able to push the break. That looked like the point guard Trey Donaldson that is getting more experience and getting more refined. And that's a guy who – and we're not trying to talk about next year yet, but that's a guy that I'm excited for next year because of what we saw, and not just this game, but the Houston game as well.
Absolutely. And it allowed Wing Green to sit on the bench for a little bit.
That's right.
And so that he can come in and close. Because we've gone through several games where he's had to play a lot. And because we didn't have that backup point guard like Trey Donaldson. Donaldson was fantastic.
Yeah,
he did everything right in that game. And like you said, 3 straight 3-pointers. We were jumping up and down going crazy when he made that step back third one. It was just I've never seen that from the kid, except in his high school film. But we haven't seen it this year. And, boy, he stepped up. And then, by the way, he kept it going in the next game.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not like it was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. The kid played a great NCAA tournament for Auburn.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that being said, let's go ahead and move on and get to the positives against in the Houston game.
Okay.
Auburn was up 10 at halftime. This was a dominant first half from Auburn.
Just like anything they wanted.
The three halves of basketball, two against Iowa and then the first against Houston, looked about as good as this Auburn team has looked in total. All year long, playing the best basketball at the right time, and it all fell apart after halftime. And not only did it fall apart for Auburn, but everything came together for Houston, even though they were dealing with some massive foul trouble. Massive foul trouble.
Point guard and two guard both have 4.
The three best players all have 4 with 8 minutes to go. At that point, I was like, well, I mean, We're not looking great right now, but if we start
making fouls,
we can get back in this game because they're calling fouls on that Houston team. And
we were getting to the line.
Sasser is still on the bench, so it's weird. But let's talk about the first half, though. Extremely dominant. Auburn was getting every single thing they wanted. They were getting to the rim. They were getting Jani Broome the ball in the post. They were knocking down threes. They were It looked unbelievable. I was watching it. I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to go to the Final Four because this is the best team that this Auburn team has looked all year long.
Yep.
If they keep this up, Miami's not beating us.
No.
Xavier, Texas may not beat us.
No.
We're going to get to the Final Four. And it all fell apart after halftime. So give me your thoughts on that first half, though.
What you said is exactly right. Best half of basketball that Auburn has played.
Yeah.
They were dominant. Now, I don't think you can even say that they were dominant because Shedd wasn't playing well or what's his name? The other guard. He had 9 of the first 10 points of the game.
You know, Houston
Sasser was playing well.
Yeah.
We figured out a way to stop them a little bit, and they weren't as aggressive as they usually are. And then we were on offense. That's the best I've seen our offense look all year, and there's not a close second. They were getting anything they wanted. They were getting M1 opportunities. They were making free throws.
Yeah.
I was like you. I was starting to go, wow, this team may be better than we thought. They're peaking at exactly the right time.
And
Miami's not going to beat this team. We will have just beat the best team in the tournament. And if we keep this up, we will beat them badly. And then we made four more shots.
Yeah, you made four shots in the second half, and you missed about 15 to 20 free throws in the second half. You ended up 19 of 36 from the free throw line, which is 52%.
I think that was generous because we shot well in the first half.
Yeah, that's right. That's the whole thing with the field goal percentage. I looked at halftime. We were like 57% from
field. We're shooting the ball fast. 41
points. We were playing unbelievable on the offensive end. Just like you said, ended up shooting 37% from the field, 20 of 53. The free throws.
We had two scholarship athletes airball a free throw in that game.
Yeah.
Neither of them was named Dylan Cardwell, by the way.
Yeah. No, I mean, Dylan didn't attempt a free throw. Chris Moore didn't attempt a free throw. Leo Berman didn't attempt a free throw. And Wendell Green didn't attempt a free throw.
That's bad, by the
way. That's bad, and that's shocking.
Yeah.
Zeb Jasper went 1 of 2. He's normally 80%. Alan Flanagan went 4 of 5. That's about where I expect Alan Flanagan.
Yeah, 80% is pretty good for Alan.
Jalen Williams went 3 of 4. The one that he missed rattled in and out. That's about where I expect him. Trey Donaldson went 0 of 2, including an air ball. As Trey Donaldson played in this tournament, he buried 2 threes in this.
Yeah.
He was able to control the offense.
He's a
good free throw shooter. It was just like a bug hit this Auburn team all at once from the free throw line. Katie Johnson went 5 of 7.
That's about where I
expect KD.
Yeah.
July went 6 of 16.
And let me say something. Jani took a lot of the blame after the game.
He is not to blame.
Let my team down, that sort of thing. It's not on you, Jani.
No.
You played your guts out. You played against grown men. Literally. I know some of them are freshmen, but they're grown men. And yes, you were getting fouled. You're going to the line, and the minute he airballed that one, it's like you said, it became a thing in his head, and you could see it. He didn't have confidence. If you watch him shoot the two free throws that he made late in the Iowa game, he stepped up, one dribble, looked up, shot it, and it went in confidently.
Both of them.
If you watch the free throws in the second half of this game, it looked like he was like, oh, my God, I'm never going to make this shot.
Yeah.
And he's better than that. He knows he's better than that. We know he's better than that. It just hit him at a bad time. It's like the shanks in golf.
That sucks.
It's hard to get over, especially during a round or especially during a game. You can't go off to the side and get your form back and then come back in.
Yeah.
He had to play. And it was, I really felt sorry for him.
Me too.
But let's give some credit to Houston.
That's where I was going to go.
That's a really good team.
This Auburn, it really felt while it was happening that Auburn was losing this game instead of Houston winning this game. Because I felt like especially after the first half, if Houston was going to win, Houston was going to need to get red hot from three.
Yep.
They were going to need to play probably their best game of the whole Midwest region against this Auburn team in Birmingham, the way that we were playing in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And they did in the second half. outside of their foul trouble with Shedd and Jairus Walker and Marcus Sasser, man, they looked impressive. I mean, Tremon Mark.
They were great.
This Auburn team. He had 26 points and 9 rebounds. Jairus Walker looked at huge and dominant. And
really Walker, wanted him at Auburn.
Walker had 6 blocks, and Julian Roberts had 5 blocks. Like, this is a very, very good and deep Houston team. If they can stay healthy, I mean, Francis looked really, really good on the defensive end. Sasser, he looked healthy.
Caught fire, yeah.
And so did Jamal Shedd. This Houston team, we could very likely see them in Houston for the Final Four and be cutting down the Nets on that Monday night.
I'd be a little surprised if we don't see him in Houston.
So if we I guess what we're trying to say with taking this away from Auburn is you probably lost to the best team in the tournament, if not the second best team in the tournament. You played – I mean, you were dominating them for half a basketball, and then it just kind of unfolded. And when it unfolded for Auburn, Houston punched it right in the mouth. Because they're a really good basketball team. They got really good talent. They're really deep. They could punch it.
The kid that you mentioned that came off the bench for
– Tremon Mark, yeah.
I was watching it with your sister, and he started getting that elbow jumper going. And it was like watching Chris Paul. Chris Paul in the NBA does everything he can to get to that elbow because he knows he'll make 10 out of 11 of them.
Yeah.
And that's what this kid did. And we were guarding him. It wasn't that they were unguarded shots. They were hand in his face, 15-foot jumpers, mid-range. And he was fantastic. And look, that Houston team's got 1, 2, 3, probably 4 NBA players on it.
Yeah,
they're very good, and they should go to the Final Four. And in my opinion, they probably should win it. They probably deserve it.
And that Houston team's going to be hard to beat. Auburn really, really showed that you could be dominant against this Houston team and get this Houston team in foul trouble.
And but then
once the opportunity opens for Houston, they're the absolute best in the country at using it and punching it right in the mouth.
Yeah,
and you can't take that away from Houston. So when we talk about this game, about, you know, if it didn't unravel for Auburn in the second half, Auburn would be in the Sweet 16. That is a fact, but you can't take it away from Kelvin Sampson and that basketball team.
And I can guarantee you that halftime locker room for Houston was not entertaining.
No.
That was not a place you want to be if you're an NCAA basketball player.
Yeah, that's right.
He went after him.
No kidding. They came out and they showed it to you.
Yep.
But that will be the end of the Auburn basketball season. We are excited for the offseason, just like I mentioned. We got a lot of stuff coming up. Our season review, we'll go through some of the top games, some of the top moments, and stat lines that we enjoyed from this season and top moments. And just, you know, talk it. Just discuss it. Just have a little fun talking Auburn basketball, maybe show a little videos of some plays and talk about them. And then we're going to get right into it. This Auburn team, this Auburn coaching staff and team, they're recruiting right now.
You heard Bruce Pearl after this game.
Yeah, he said, I'm recruiting tonight.
Last year after the Miami game, he said, I'm building this team around Jalen Williams. This year after the Houston game, he said, I'm on the recruiting trail.
Yeah.
He knows he's got to overhaul the roster. It's going to be a totally different looking roster, in my opinion, when we get back. But that's something we can talk about as crazy season starts. We've got a McDonald's All-American game coming up with an Auburn player in it. Yeah. We can get together next week and talk about the Final Four because we'll know what that is.
Yeah.
And please say a prayer to all that is holy that Alabama is not in the Final Four. God, I don't know if I can. I live in Birmingham. I'm Bamberham.
Princeton's going to beat them in the Elite Eight.
Oh,
but that'll wrap up this edition of the Jungle Show. We thank y'all for listening. If you want to find either of us on Twitter, if you watch on YouTube, look at the screen at Gray Oldenburg or at War Eagle Hoops. But we'll go ahead and wrap this edition up. Just like he said, we'll be back next week for a season review and a Final Four look ahead. We'll do.
Yeah, let's look at the Final Four.
Thank you all for listening.
War Eagle.
Thank you for watching and listening to this edition of The Jungle Show. If you enjoyed this content, please consider hitting the like button and sharing it down below. If you would like to find more of this content, please go to auburndaily.com. If you would like to find either of us on Twitter, you could go to @GrayOldenburg or @WarEagleHoops. Again, thank you for watching, and we will see you next time.